Loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this beautiful day. We thank you for the time here to fellowship and learn and grow. And we ask for the fellowship of your Holy Spirit and that you water our souls with your word and the principles that you created in the soil and give us skill and understanding today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I asked someone to show us their irrigation kit, and I don't see them yet, so you can pray that they show up pretty soon. But we do have a few things we can share to start with.
For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. How much water? The general rule of thumb to watering the garden is about an inch or two of water each week, with deep, infrequent watering as opposed to the more frequent, shallow watering. So you want those roots to get a good drench and then have a rest because they need water, but they also need the air around them too. The water should penetrate 5 to 6 inches deep and should encourage deep root systems, and this is accomplished by watering slowly and long. Shallow watering promotes shallow root growth. Plants with deep root systems are not as vulnerable to extreme weather conditions. So when the seedlings are being planted into the ground, they do require frequent watering because they just, you know, they're still at that depth, and as they're putting down their roots, they need to be able to reach that moisture. So once they are established, in about a week, you can work towards not watering every day. But in some places, people get away with watering every 4 to 5 days. I think our more arid parts of the country, it takes a little bit more. Yeah, and
especially if your soil is sandy, because it just doesn't hold the water for you.
The best time to water is in the morning, before it gets hot. So don't water plants in the midday heat, as it adds stress to the already stressful situation, and also because so much of it will evaporate. You know, it's just going to go off. Applying a mulch to your garden is helpful in keeping the moisture in the ground, and it makes it easier to water less, even when the temperatures soar. Anyone praying for water will be aware of these things already, but even if we have a well, it is good to guard our resources. So, yeah, and there are some things to overhead watering. Sometimes some plants are sensitive to that, or if they get water on them and the sun burns those droplets in, you know, you can have challenges with that too. Also, overhead watering wets the plants and it can encourage diseases, especially in humid parts of the country. So soaker hoses and drip irrigation is preferred over the rain bird sprinklers. Watering only the plants that need it and not the weeds or the paths. This not only saves water, but weeding time too. And at this time, we're going to share our different watering systems and what they look like. Everyone's garden needs are different. Everyone's location is different. Your supply is different. So it's okay to have a variety of. We started with bare land, and so we really didn't know how it was going to work out. We ended up having a well, which produces a good amount of water for us. But if you're looking for land, or maybe you already have land, do consider your water source. You know, do you have a well? Do you have a spring? Is there a creek? Is there a river? Is there some kind of canal? Do you have access to any of that? Maybe you have a shared well. Do you have to haul your water? You know, those are all considerations for how, what's involved with your water setup. And when we drilled our well, is it going to produce enough for us? So we are very thankful that it did produce enough water. Irrigation wells beyond us in the lower valley, sometimes they're over 100 gallons a minute, so it's very fertile there. But ours didn't end up, we had about 40 gallons a minute, which is still great. So I wish my husband was here to talk about this, because he's the working brain behind the irrigation system for us. We I showed you a picture yesterday. We kind of have four sections for our garden. And over here, well, this picture on the left, we trenched two aisles down the aisle on either side. And then this furrow in the front comes over to where our electrical shed is. But we piped, he set up different zones for it. I think we actually have six zones. He put in an inch. Oh, I'm sorry. I have all my figures here in front of me. We used PVC pipe there in the pipes and ran it. Each pipe comes down and runs to its area. And so that's from here where the brown is all the way to the end. Their end is probably about 200 feet. And we have spigots for the garden plot on either side where we can come and rinse the vegetables off. So that's really handy if you can put water in that way. Okay, we use an inch and a quarter PVC. And then he reduces that to elbows, to half inch threads, and then adapters at the elbows, and so on. So right here, you can see where the pipes on the top right picture come in, elbow in to where all the stations, yes, where the controllers are. And then right here is where he put the box in, and actually, this is all enclosed inside of our garden shed now, so it's indoors, and he's got timers on the wall where he can regulate it. This just shows our faucet that comes up along, that's all along the aisle. And then here on the bottom, where we bring the irrigation, you can kind of see, well, there's three uprights that come to the garden zone, and from that, he tees off with plastic pipe, and the soaker hoses connect into that. So, oh, here you go. Right here in the front, there's an elbow that comes up out of the ground. That's always there, and it is easy to hit it with a tractor, and it happens almost every so often. But then he runs the plastic pipe that's a little more flexible, and then tees in the soaker hoses. And this was before we used the landscape fabric, so currently all these soaker hoses run under our landscape fabric, which ends up we don't pull them off now. We used to pull them off in the fall and not, and store them, but now they're under there all the time. Okay, that's a close up of, and I think we're using a 5/8 inch soaker hose. And so there's some reducers on there, but It's pretty straightforward. If we need to isolate a zone, we can either unscrew those and tap them, or some of ours have a shutoff valve. So like when the potatoes, I start them and then it's time to turn the water off, but this irrigation goes to other beds. And so I will just isolate areas that we don't want to be using the water on the rest of the season. On the left, that's an example of for the strawberries. We run two soaker hoses there. Beyond is the blueberries. And originally, our pipes came down and they were on wires. That's a drip system for blueberries are on a drip line. And these are the top right is what we use for raspberries and blackberries. And the bottom one is for grapes. So the strawberries and the raspberries are soaker hoses. The blueberries and the grapes and our orchard are on a drip system. And there again, you can see the little drip nozzles there around the blueberry. You can get those different sizes. So, you know, if you want a half a gallon or a gallon per hour, whatever, you can adjust that. And that was our orchard at the beginning. This is actually the water's on the other end, and so it comes down those drip lines to each of the trees. And here again, these, I'm looking at them thinking I probably need to replace those because we have a lot of minerals in the water and hard water, so the calcification builds up there. That's around one of our apple trees. Okay. I wish I knew more about it, but we have one main that goes into 6 zones. We have 4 soaker zones and 2 drip zones. So anyway, if you need help with your irrigation system, you know, talk to someone in the hardware store or find someone that can help you set up or contract with someone to put things in if you can't do it yourself.
So we use a drip tape, and this blue thing is our main little thing that goes off along the edge of the garden, and then we'll have tape going off of there to each bed. I have, on our farm, we have 9 watering zones. The water is a little complicated, and I can't always get it. The guys take care of that, and actually my son, who is a special needs kid, but once he's learned something, he does it exactly the same every time. So he takes care of the irrigation for me. The only thing he can't do is decide if it needs more water or less. So I have to be the one that says, you know, the strawberries, today is the day. So otherwise he would just every day the same time. He's pretty consistent about that, but just lacks a little bit of judgment when it comes to. So this blue hose runs along and it's flat. And then when you turn the water on, it fills up. And it fills up all these little drip tapes. So they're putting it together there. And we do like shut off valves on every single tape, because if I have an area where one of my tapes, we have really high pressure. We have such high pressure that we have put in a reducer and we still can only turn it on about an 1/8 of the way, or it'll blow everything to pieces. And it actually does, like everything will blow off and I have to reattach everything. It can even blow a hole in my tape. And so I'll shut off the little valve and I'll go and I'll put in a new piece. I don't have to do a whole new one. I can just put in a little section, because that you can buy these little pieces that help you with that. This is the reducer. And it doesn't do enough. But you can see I use 3, generally 2 to 3 tape per bed. So this is what it looks like. Comes out of the ground. This will be one of the stations, and I'll just call it station number 2. This is strawberries. And this little thing at the front here, I have a little video the kids made about that. That's how I fertilize. I put the fertilizer, liquid fertilizer usually, or powder, and I mix it in water in that bucket. And then I turn that blue handle and everything gets fertilized all at once. It's really nice. So I'm going to show you the video the kids made. I guess they made it a couple years ago, and last night when I texted my daughter, I'm like, photos of the irrigation system. I'm not finding them on my phone. And she's like, oh, here.
We all have our favorite foods, right? But did you know that plants have their favorite foods too? My plant's favorite is fish emulsion. That's right. Rotten, nasty, smelly fish all blended up in a smoothie. Packed full of nutrients. This is not an ad.
I'm getting hungry already.
I kid you not, though. Every time I feed my plants fish, they grow visibly. They go from this big to that big overnight. That might be an exaggeration, but pretty close. I'm so excited today, guys, because I have my brother-in-law, Sean, here with me.
Ta-da.
And he's going to show you how to set up our Venturi system, and it makes our lives so much easier. Fertilizing goes so fast, and it's so easy with this simple method. But before we get started, I want to show you how I fertilize seedlings in the tray. You need a container that is at least 4 to 6 inches deep so that you can get 2 to 3 inches of water in the bottom of your tray. Then you take the fish fertilizer, aka fish smoothie, and and you mix it with the water. I don't have a specific recipe that I follow. I just pour a little few tablespoons of the concentrate in the water until it turns light brown and mix it up. And then I take the tray and I put it into the container full of fertilizer. Now what happens is the fertilizer is drawn up from the bottom of the tray to the top, and that helps the plug get fully saturated, whereas if I just take a watering can and pour over the top, those nutrients will get to the leaves and stuff, but they may not necessarily get all the way down to the ends of the roots where it really matters. So this is a very effective way of doing it. It's easy. It is so worth it to see your seedlings growing and thriving on their fish smoothie.
Fancy dancy Venturi device, so named because of the Venturi effect, which is a decrease in pressure created when water flows through a constriction in a pipe or cylinder, which translates to suction in this tube. So we have installed our Venturi device with a bypass here. In order to get yours to work, you'll have to start with a little bit of math. Calculate the entire, like all of your drip tape or all of your sprinkler heads. What is the gap, the flow per minute in gallons? Because these Venturi devices come in multiple different sizes. And it's clearly visible when you go to buy one what the flow range is. In this case, we're using a 3/4.
How do I know how to calculate the flow per minute and all that?
Right, so if you buy your irrigation pipe from Irrigation King, for example, hashtag not an ad, in the description of your drip tape, it will tell you how many gallons per minute per foot. So if you have, say, 0.6 of a gallon per foot, you know, per minute, you have 100 gallons, that's 60 gallons. You're going to have to do a little bit of equations. If you hate equations, ask the sixth grader, because they're doing equations. And so you figure out the entire water usage of your system. And the reason why you have to know that is that if your flow is too low, it won't create a suction. If it's too high, again, it won't create a suction. You'll just get back. So we picked this one because this is correct for the amount of, well, range, the amount of piping we have out there in the field. And then we installed it on a bypass, which actually gives us some flexibility. You can install these in line, but they work on the principle of a differential of pressure. So you have to have high pressure on one side, lower pressure on the downwind side. In this case, high pressure, this is the water supply. This is lower pressure because there's leaks in the pipe, right? So that creates the pressure differential, which creates the suction here. Now, in order to ensure that this is so, we actually installed it on a bypass, which just means if this valve is completely open, most of the water is going to go this way. That's the point of least resistance. But as we close this, it forces more and more water, increasingly, more and more water through here, and therefore we've got a little bit of wiggle room, right? So that's why we set it up in this kind of loop. You want a shut off directly across from the Venturi device. Water comes in, water goes out. Now, if you want to put it in line, you can do it in line. You just have to be more specific with your math even yet. If you have a pump in line, you can actually do the same thing. If I have a pump here, water's coming in, water's going out. This is now the high pressure side, this is low, because the pump is here. The pump is increasing the pressure. So I could install this Venturi device, but backwards. High pressure, low pressure. The water would come actually here into the Venturi device and double back through my low pressure side, and I could still inject my fertilizer that way. So here we go. I suppose we'll show you how to work it step by step, which is far less complicated than just listening to me blab and blab and blab. Can't really see it. Right, so here we have it. We've installed it in line. High pressure on this side, low pressure on this side. To fire it up, we'd start with the injector valve closed, this valve all the way open. We'll open this valve slowly. There we have it. Then we would open this valve.
Fish smoothie here from Alaska. Really from Home Depot, but you know. And we're just gonna put
Some.
Some. Oh, I mean, so that was sick. All right.
Open up the main line. High pressure, low pressure. Slowly start turning off to redirect water past the Venturi device until a suction is created. And you'll know the suction is created when you start seeing the bubbles.
You want it to go at a nice slow pace, because if you send it sucking through really fast, all the fertilizer is going to end up in your first couple lines. So you want it to go at a nice slow pace. And if your whole hose is brown, the way you tell what rate it's going at is to just pull it out, let some air bubbles in, and then watch how fast the air bubbles disappear.
The bucket ought to last 5 to 10 minutes. By that time, you know that this has gotten all the way down to the corner of the field, and that you're not sending most of it anywhere.
Thanks so much for watching.
I use that system all the time. I'm glad they set it up, because I couldn't figure it out. And I actually use more fertilizer than they just did, because that garden is actually fair size. So I might even do it 2 buckets, just depending on what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. So I have a question back here. Yeah. Is he a neblet? Yes, he is. So, I forgot to put this on the slide, but it is in the handouts. If you don't have the handouts, I'm going to tell you what it is right now. IrrigationKing.com. IrrigationKing.com. That is who I use to get all the irrigation supplies. They are super fast. You order today, you have your supplies tomorrow or the next day. And it's free shipping over anything over $50. They ship out of Oregon, Texas, and Florida, and that's why they're so quick, because they can get it to you very quickly. I do want to go back to letting you have that other... It is on YouTube. It's under Christina Ford. C-H. Christina Ford, and it's the Venturi device. V-E-N-T-U-R-I device. And it was done in June 22, 2020. So you should be able to find that. Venturi device fertilization life hack 2020 is what she called it. Christina Ford. Okay. So, what was I doing? I wanted to give you this again. I was going to have them come in, and I talked to them at breakfast. They were going to come, but somehow they got delayed. Farmer's Friend, the Dysingers, have, you know, the ones who do the hoop houses, they have an irrigation supply also. They sell you kits. It's almost identical to what we use. And so you can talk to them and buy a kit. It's already set up for a certain size. So it's very helpful. You don't have to think so much. The other thing is, there's anywhere where there's agriculture, they have to have irrigation. So you can go and talk to someone in your community. Irrigation people know what they're talking about. And so it does take out some of the scary parts of it. Let's see. Yes, question. Yes, it will if it's the wrong kind. But if what she was using was liquid, and she wasn't using a lot. Now, if she had poured in a lot of it and it was real sticky, and she had turned it on real, you know, and then turned it off real quick, and there was still some in the pipes or in the tape, then you could have the little holes gluing shut, because it's like a little flap, and so the water squeezes in between. And if if there was fish fertilizer in there and it got dried in the sun, it would close and you wouldn't be able to get any water out of it. So after I'm done, I usually do this when I need to water. I turn it on, make sure there's water in all the tape, all the lines have water, and then I put in the fertilizer, and then I let it go for another, you know, I usually water for an hour to 2 hours, so I just let it go, and there won't be any left in the pipe or in the hose. Why do we use fish fertilizer? It's one of the available organic, and not everyone would want to use it. It's really stinky. But I don't mind using it if I need to. I've also used powder that you can stir, or when you get your soil sample back and you know what you need to put in, some of it you'll be able to just put on the ground and some of it you may be able to stir into your water. This is not for, we don't use this system exclusively. So when you're planting, doing your first planting, you're preparing your soil, you're putting in your amendments, you're getting the soil ready, then later when it needs a little boost of nitrogen or something, then you would put it in through the pipe. That's how we use it. So another question. We are on well, 200 gallons a minute, just coming out, gushing everywhere. And so we actually have a little tap that lets it run into the creek because there's so much that the pressure is so high, it can literally blow my whole system to pieces. Yes. Well, it just depends what your crop is. I probably do. Yeah, so for my flower field, I'm doing it probably once a month. For my strawberries, it's a little bit different, and sometimes you're doing it more before your crop, and then afterwards you don't do as much. For my garden, I'm looking at the plants, and I'm checking the plants. I don't just do it on a schedule necessarily. Although in the beginning of the season, I might do more and then I'll wait to see if the leaves are looking a little bit pale or something, I will add more, but usually it's probably about once every 2 weeks or less, probably less. Yeah. Anyone else have a question? So I first started off with their lightest one, and that one just, I was chasing holes all the time. So then I went to their heavier one, and it's way better. I think last summer I probably fixed 5 different things rather than... That's it. Yep. You can use it over and over. Yes. The thinner stuff, if you buy the real cheap one, is Toro drip tape. Is that what it's called? Yep. Yep. One. Yeah. Right. No, it is not that much. It is better to get the thicker stuff. Are you... Okay, great. That'd be awesome. This is Jonathan Deisinger of Farmer's Friend.
Awesome. Okay. Cool. So... my company, Farmer's Friend, we started selling irrigation supplies I guess it's probably 4 years ago now. And irrigation has just always been a topic that confuses people. A lot of people, I mean, and for good reason. There's hundreds and hundreds of different options of systems and fittings, and do you need this, or how big should your pipe be, and pressure loss and flow, and all these different words that you're going to hear when you start getting into irrigation. And so our goal was to try to make it as simple as possible and put together some kits that basically come with everything that you need. So you guys aren't going to be able to see this super well. We sell three different types of irrigation. We have overhead irrigation, which this is the type of irrigation that you're going to use inside of a greenhouse or a high tunnel. And basically, the way this works is you're hanging it from the structure of your greenhouse or high tunnel. So you can see here, it's a pipe that goes down the full length of your tunnel, and we just attach it to a purlin pipe down the length of the tunnel with zip ties. So it's really easy to install. And then our system, you put a dropper, you know, one of these drops here, and a little sprinkler head every 3 feet. And so what that does is it gives you really good overhead irrigation of your tunnel, and it gives an incredibly even watering. And so if you're trying to do overhead watering inside of a greenhouse or a tunnel, this is great because you don't have to worry about the hose or the pipes and stuff down on the ground where you have to try to cultivate and work around it. But you also get the benefits of the overhead irrigation. So the kit comes with everything you need to assemble this. And you can go to our website and, you know, probably visualize this a little bit better. We have these kits built to work with our Caterpillar tunnels that we sell. So you can see when you go to select the option that you're going to get, it's based on the lengths of our tunnels and the styles of tunnels. But you could, if you have a greenhouse already and it's not one of our tunnels, you could get either a 50-foot or a 100-foot kit. And the only difference between like the classic and Gothic, that's the shape of the tunnel. The Gothic generally has a higher peak, and so the drops are a little bit longer on that to get it down closer to the ideal height. And then we have different valve assemblies. You can see we have some automatic valves. You can actually like put it on a timer if that's something that you're interested in. And certainly for automating irrigation, that's going to save you a ton of time. So, you know, having to remember to go turn it on and off every day or every week or however often you have to irrigate, it can be a real pain. So, all right, so that's our overhead irrigation. The one that probably most of you all will be most interested in is drip irrigation. And so I think you were just discussing that when I walked in. So drip is a really simple system. It's a really light-duty kind of drip tape, they call it, with perforations down the length of it, and you just charge the line with water, and it's just going to drip at each emitter and create, you know, a moist area in your soil. There's a lot of benefits to it. There's also some hassle, but again, our kits come with everything you need, and I believe it's for 12 rows. So I think the kits come with everything you need for 12 100-foot, well, I say rows. That wouldn't be complete beds. It depends on how many runs of drip you put down each bed. So if you do 3 runs down each bed, 12 runs is enough to give you 4 beds. So that's how our kits are put together. We do light-duty and heavy-duty drip. The heavy-duty is it's easier to work with, and it's going to last a little bit longer, but it's quite a bit more expensive. We, again, have manual valves, automatic valve, or you can supply your own valve. And then the filter, the type of filter you're looking for is depending on what type of water you're using. So one thing we've tried to do on our website is put these info pop-ups. So we kind of explain, you know, choose a disc filter if your source water from a pond, creek, or spring. Screen filter would be adequate if you source water from city or a well. So we try to explain what you need and kind of hold your hand through the process. So that's drip irrigation. And then lastly, I'll show our field irrigation. So this is also a type of overhead irrigation, but this is going to be what you would use in a situation where you don't have any infrastructure above you to hang, you know, sprinklers from. So this system comes with the poly tubing, stakes that you drive into the ground, and then the sprinkler head goes on top of it. And we have a couple different types of sprinklers. My dad always uses the Excel wobblers. They tend to work better with lower pressure. Some people like the magnets. I'm not going to say one is better than the other necessarily. We just have those two options, but we'll go with the wobblers. Yeah, again, it comes with everything you need. All the information is here on our website with information about what pressures you need, what's your radius. I mean, these systems can water a large area very easily. So shows you what's included in the kit. And then if you just want to learn more about our kits or just generally how you would set up a field irrigation like this, you can, you know, look at our product manual. We have it available here on the website that shows you the whole process of how to set it up, which, again, is helpful if you're setting up one of our kits. But if you're trying to do something on your own, this could also be helpful for kind of walking you through the process. So this irrigation manual actually covers all of our kits. So this is the drip irrigation, the overhead irrigation, and the field irrigation, all in one step-by-step manual. So pretty much covers it. Any questions? Yeah, so we also sell individual parts. And so if you go to the irrigation tab on our website, we have irrigation parts. So if you wanted drip irrigation parts, you can go here and you can see that, you know, we sell the valves and couplers and flush valves and pressure regulators. And I'm not sure if we have everything here, but yeah, you can buy just the drip tape and just the header line and stuff like that. So this is a brand new website. We just launched this like a few weeks ago, and so we're still getting some new stuff on here and get all the glitches fixed. But yeah, you can get individual parts for drip and field irrigation and overhead irrigation. Yep. Yeah. Soaker hose is different than drip. It's a totally different product. It should be more even. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm trying to think what would cause that. I mean, obviously, water runs to the lowest spot, so it could just be... Honestly, if you're getting water puddling up, you're probably watering too much. Yeah, at that point, you've probably watered a lot more than you should. It's better to do it, like... I mean, it's kind of like drinking water. They said, you know, rather than drinking a quart of water all at once, you want to drink like, you know, 8 ounces a bunch, right? So it real close, at least. Yeah, real close. Like it shouldn't, I mean, it should be dripping out and soaking immediately into the soil. It shouldn't really have a chance to run. If it's running, you've already completely saturated your ground and then it's time to stop. Yeah. Soaker hose versus, yeah. I mean, so a drip tape is a solid plastic tape that just has tiny micro perforations you can get it in, I don't know, tons of different variations. We've just tried to pick some that are the most common. I mean, as far as like you can get it at 6-inch perforations or 12-inch perforations, 18-inch, you can get, you know, more gallons per hour, higher emitters, all that kind of stuff. But anyways, that's the way it works. It's very metered emitters, whereas a soaker hose is just literally a kind of a foam type material that just oozes water out over the whole thing, basically. So it might emit more water at the beginning than at the end because of pressure loss and, you know, flow ratings, stuff like that. Probably drip tape. Yeah, probably drip tape. I mean, drip is, like, although it has some hassle factor and some pain to it, drip is the best way to go in a lot of situations. Because you're getting the water exactly where you need it. You're definitely not wasting as much water by just broadcasting water everywhere. So, And if you're doing like small areas, like a raised bed or something, the overhead irrigation or our field irrigation, like the field irrigation, it's like a 30-foot radius on the sprinklers. So if you put one, I mean, you're just getting a whole area. So, and the overhead for the tunnels as well is like a 15 to 20 foot, I think, radius is what they're kind of rated for. So you're just watering a lot more than you need to. Oh, that's, I mean, you can't really answer that question. It depends on if you're outside and if you got rain the day before, just anything like that. Like how, you just want your soil to stay. I mean, what I've heard is just kind of like a moist chocolate cake. Like you don't want it to be soaked. You don't want it to be dusty and dry. You just want it to be kind of this moist texture. So. Yeah, definitely. And that's one of the benefits to it. So we, you know, growing up, we did strawberries. And our plastic mulch layer put down the drip tape underneath. So it laid drip tape and then put the plastic on top. So that's definitely something you do. No, not really. To be honest, like, I don't remember what ours are, but... U4. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you do something like 6-inch, it's gonna end up completely watering the entire bed. Like, you're not just going to end up... Well, you'll start out seeing, like, little wet spots, but once it's really watered well, it'll fill in the rest of the area. Oh, how do you deal with it? Okay, I thought you said, how do you do a hard water? I was like, I don't know what that is, but... I mean, the problem with something like drip tape is it can clog up. So if you have really water that has a real high mineral, then it could clog it up. You'd probably have to run it through some sort of treatment, I guess. I'm not really sure. I've not dealt with that personally. So, yep. Well, we could probably go for a long time answering questions. But...
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
So we have hard water where we are, and it can be an issue. Like you saw on hers, the little tips were covered in calcium. I haven't had to replace anything, so it's okay. Well, that is everything that we wanted to share on irrigation. Yes, we have a question. Oh, dear. That's hard. So he's saying put on some silicone or grease. Lithium grease on your attachments before you put them together so that they will actually come apart later. They won't be concreted in. Okay.
On that point of calcification with our soaker hoses, over time, they have, you know, the minerals have started to settle in there. And also, if you're having trouble with uneven watering with your soaker hoses, it might be you have an old hose and a new hose, because we've had that issue. So, you know, if you know you have hoses of the same age, try to put them together or replace them, because they can, you know, unevenly water.
One more question. I'm sure there's filters you could use. You would have to go talk to an irrigation place about that, I would think. Yeah, I don't know. It's possible. Yeah, if you have the right. There's a lot of different pieces that you can put together. So, yeah, and you can make maybe a bed's worth, you know, piece of blue pipe. You can buy that blue pipe, that flat tape thing. You can buy it in various lengths. You don't have to buy a huge roll of it. So, yeah. Thank you for coming. Irrigation was our scariest one. 'Cause our husbands do it, not us. And they didn't want to come. So, you know. We blow our lines out. We have, generally, my husband goes and rents a big thing and blows all the lines out. Then we just leave them out there. They're under snow. they're fine. Yeah, I mean, eventually there'll be some wear and tear from the sun for sure. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for coming.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.